angels departed from Brother Branham, they formed that cloud in the sky that science has no explanation for, that science says is too high and too big to be true. I later on talked to Dr. McDonald at length about it, because as Brother Branham began to tell it and testify, and the word ever got around the world, people began to write Dr. McDonald, people came to his office to see him, and he finally said, "What is this? What is this about this religious significance on this cloud?" And the man who happened to be talking to that day sort of backed out of his arm and said, "Well, look, if you want any answers, you just call Reverend Green, Pastor Tucson Tabernacle. He'd be happy to give you an explanation." So Dr. McDonald called me, and as a result, we had discussions. The newspapers wrote us up. They picked it up, and they have him one side of the controversy and me another. And I want you to know I have never been quoted correctly in a newspaper in my life. Never. And yet, you'll read it, and it'll be the gospel truth to you. But I have never been quoted fairly nor honestly in any article that has ever been written. How can you expect carnal people to write about spiritual things? They don't understand it when you talk about it. All they want to write is, maybe the reporter writes it correctly, but his editor wants it to sell newspapers, so he gives it some sensational twist somehow, and that's what people look at you and say, "Look what is happening in this church," or "Look at this preacher, look what he's doing and saying." But I come to find this out. Dr. McDonald says, "I cannot believe that this had anything to do with God. There is no explanation of that cloud," and my answer is this: Dr. McDonald, if you had an explanation, I would not be able to believe what I believe. But because you cannot explain it, then this must be a supernatural sign from God to attract the attention of those who have ears to hear. Because what I have heard when Brother Branham preached those sermons on the seven seals, it did not change my Bible, but it changed the way I looked at this Bible. It updated it. It made it current. Many things that I thought, well, they're yet to happen. We're looking for them to occur. They've already happened. They're a matter of history. The only thing that's left, folks, is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and a bride to make herself ready. Now, I would be a hypocrite if I didn't tell you folks tonight that I believe that the Bible speaks in the last days that before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, before the coming of the Lord, God promised that he would send a man with the spirit of Elijah. Now, to me, Elijah the Tishbite was a man, as I said this morning, that he loved the wilderness. He preached against the Jezebel spirit. He desired no fame or money, and he called the religious leaders of the world hypocrites. I believe that that was the spirit that Elijah the Tishbite had. When Elijah was taken away, Elisha received a double portion of that spirit. The Bible tells us he did. I believe that Jesus said that John the Baptist was a man that fulfilled the scriptures that said that Elias was to come. The voice of one crying in the wilderness to forerun the first coming of the Lord and to make way for the messenger. I believe that Jesus in Matthew 17, 11 and 12 told his disciples that truly Elias shall first come. And to me, that was not John the Baptist. That was a future event to take place. He said, "But I say unto thee, Elias is already come." That was John the Baptist. "And they knew him not." That was John the Baptist. "And they did unto him whatsoever they desired." That was John the Baptist. "Even as the Son of Man shall suffer." And that was the suffering of Jesus on Calvary and Golgotha. That was future. The coming of Elijah, truly Elias shall first come and restore all things. That's what he says in Matthew 17, 12. Look at it and see. I'm sorry, 17, 11. Look at it and see, when is the time of restitution of all things? Not when John the Baptist was here. The faith had just been delivered to the saints. It had just been brought to the saints. There was no falling away. When is the time of restitution to be? The time of restitution is to be just before the coming of the Lord Jesus. Acts 3:21 says, "Whom the heavens must receive and retain," speaking of Jesus, "until the time of restitution of all things." Now, I love the way the German Bible says that. It says, "Truly Allah shall first come and correct all those things that have gone off into error." Now, let me just show you how easy it is for you and I as Christians to go off into error. Now, we've got traditions, and I'll be honest with you, if it does not originate with this Bible, it is not Christianity. It is paganism. Now, you examine your life, and if it don't come out of here, you find out where you got it. Now, let me just give you an example. I just came from Trinidad a few weeks ago, about 2 weeks ago. I've been down there 7 times, and 3 times out of the 7, I've gone about the same time of year. Now, the Hindus have a holy day. And it's a day when they take lights and candles and little lamps and they trim their houses and their sidewalks and their driveways. And it is the day that they light their houses up so that their God will know His way into their home. And now how can I go to the Hindu heathen and preach and tell him that's heathenism and come home and put lights around my house? Now you may say, there's nothing to that, no harm in decorating my house. But let me just tell you this. Jesus Christ was not born December the 25th. Read it in any history book you wish. Go read it in a Catholic encyclopedia. The Roman Catholic Church, when they met the heathens and wanted to introduce Christianity to them, they found that the heathens were worshiping the sun, the moon, and the earth, and they celebrated Christmas, December the 25th, as one of the shortest days of the year, as the birthday of the sun god, S-U-N. And so the Roman Church says, well, what's the difference in S-U-N and S-O-N? And so they made December the 25th the day they celebrate and commemorate the birth of Jesus Christ. Christ was born in the spring of the year under the sign of the zodiac, the lamb, the ram. He was the lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. The shepherds are not in the field in December. They're there in April. And yet, we as Christians, the greatest holiday we have, we celebrate His birth on December the 25th, and He was not born. I'm sorry to tell you, if you don't know, it's a pagan holiday.